Appreciate the service thus far here this evening. Appreciate those thoughts on holiness. So I greet you saints here at Shade Mountain Christian Fellowship this evening in the name of Jesus. Thinking of what Brother Levi shared in the devotions, I thought went well with what I'm thinking of here this evening in trying to maintain our Christian life, be holy, but yet we realize that on our own strength we can do nothing. So this evening I want to trust that we can be encouraged in the Word of God, and as we labor on, as we continue to strive for the kingdom, to strive for holiness, we look forward to the time that we can be with the one that has made it possible for us to be holy. This evening I want to turn to the book of Galatians for a scripture reading here in the beginning of the message. Galatians chapter 5 is Paul here was speaking to the Galatians, and I won't read the whole chapter, but he speaks of liberty in the first part of the chapter, speaking to people that come from strict law keepers to liberty in Christ. And I think I heard some of that in our true brother that shared here this evening. You know, we can keep the law, we can do what we think is right, what we know is right, but yet if we don't have Christ dwelling within us, and it comes from a heart that's sincere, you know, what is it worth? There was Paul here. I think the Galatians were strict law keepers. They were Jews, and they constrained others to follow the law, to do certain things certain ways. And then the Gentiles come along, and they had their ideas, and you know they weren't as the Jews, and so the Jews were kind of sarcastic sometimes about these people, and the Gentiles were being converted, and the Jews thought the Gentiles need to submit to all the law, to keep the law. But Paul says, no, you have liberty in Christ, and that liberty does not mean that they could then just do what they want to, but yet they will do what the Word teaches. Salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus, not by the works that we do or have done. I want to break here in chapter 5, starting in verse 13 to the end of the chapter. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revellings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Tonight I want to think of our hearts as we look at this chapter. And as I said, Paul was speaking to the people here, speaking of liberty in Christ. In verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we are holy, as Brother Levi shared with us here this evening, I think that is our desire, to be walking in the Spirit, to be walking with Christ. They're having a hatred of sin and desiring holiness, showing that they have part in the salvation of the gospel. We are in a spiritual warfare, and as long as we live in the flesh, we are in a battle. We live in the flesh, and ourself is something that we need to deal with every day. Satan comes to us in different ways to try to get us to fall. So tonight, the title of the message is Our Heart, a Garden. And this is a beautiful time of year. Beautiful crops coming down here. Beautiful crops. We have good weather. We have rain. We have sunshine. We have gardens. We have things coming on, fruit coming on. There's lots of things growing. And we have a garden at home, and last evening I was in the garden a while, but I was not picking tomatoes or cucumbers or anything else, but I was doing something else that grows in the garden. And seems sometimes these things grow faster than the good things. Now maybe they don't here in Juniata County, but I know over in Mifflin County they do. Seems like it. Anyway, those are things that we call weeds. And they're growing well this year as well as everything else. God has given sunshine, he's giving rain, and we're having a wonderful harvest. But these weeds are growing too. We didn't even plant those weeds there, but something happened that these weeds started to grow. A weed is a plant that tends to grow thickly where it is not wanted and chokes out more desirable plants. Some of these weeds are easier to pull than others. And some of those weeds, sometimes if they get out of control, you pull and you pull and you pull, and I mean you just can't get it hardly. I know there's times when my wife says there's one out there I can't get. I need you to come do it, you know? Well, then I come out and sometimes I pull and it just breaks off. The top just breaks off and the root's still there. Some of these roots are deep. Sometimes we need to get a shovel to help get those roots out of the garden, those weed roots. Sometimes you take a shovel and you dig deep and you think you're down at the bottom of the root, and while you pull it up and it looks like the root is just broken off, there's still roots there. So what's the deal? I mean, why do these weeds grow so well? I mean, after you work in the garden and pull the weeds, you stand back and, oh, it looks nice. Now we can enjoy the garden, look at the beautiful garden, and just let it go. It'll be all right. Well, 2 weeks later, you look at the garden again, and weeds coming again. What happened? Well, we didn't do anything. They're coming. So let's think of our hearts as a garden here this evening. And there's things in our hearts sometimes that I like to call weeds. And those weeds come from myself. Me, myself, and I. You know, as it takes effort to keep our gardens clean, so it does as well to keep our hearts clean. Our hearts, a garden. What is growing in our hearts this evening? Let's take a walk through our hearts and see what is growing there. What are the weeds that can grow in our hearts? Chapter 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? And then we have the weeds, the works of the flesh. It seems to me that these things just grow naturally. They grow if nothing is done. Just like, yeah, they just grow. If there's nothing, if the soil is tilled and you let it set and don't plant any good seed in there, something will grow. Same way with our hearts. If we don't put something in there, something will grow. And that is myself, me, myself, and I. If we don't plant good seed into tilled soil, what happens? And here we have the list of things that can grow in our hearts in the old man, human nature. You know, we have back in, John 15, where Jesus gave the parable of the fruits, the tree that's known by our fruits. So the same way, our heart is known by what comes forth from our heart. And we see a garden, we know what the tomato plant looks like, we know what cucumbers look like, we know what peas look like. But then there's other things that sometimes we wonder, what's this? It looks almost the same as this other, the good plant. But it's not the same, it's a weed. So here we have the weeds that can be growing in our hearts. Paul names, there's nine or so here. The first four are sins of sensuality. Then there's two spiritual sins of false religion. And then there's sins against our fellow man. And then there's sins of intemperance. The first one is adultery. This is sins of sensuality. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. What do these words mean? Well, I think we probably all know what these words mean. But I will look at what they mean here this evening. Adultery is illicit connection with a married person. The word is wanting in this place. It is a adulterous connection with a married person. When the scripture says, if a man marries a woman that is divorced, he's living in adultery. The husband hasn't died of that woman, so he's living in adultery. But there's also then spiritual adultery, I think, as well. Fornication is illicit connection between single or unmarried persons. Uncleanness, whatever is opposite to purity. Probably referring to Romans 1:24, where God has given them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Homosexuality. I think we can include much else, much more in that uncleanness. Then we have lasciviousness. What's that big word? Well, in other words, it is unbridled lust. In 1 John, we have the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust, lusting after something that isn't mine, whatever is contrary to chastity, lewdness. This is lasciviousness. And then we have the two spiritual sins of false religion. We have idolatry, worshiping something that isn't God, or letting something come between me and God. It's like an idol. It hinders my relationship with God. Then we have, what does it say, witchcraft. Sorcery or magic, superstition or deception. Witchcraft. Then we have the sins against our fellow man. We have hatred, hatefulness. We know what that is. It is opposite of brotherly love and kindness. Then we have variance or contentions, disagreements. Hatred working and opening our contentions. Hatred first and then contentions come. Variance. We don't. There's disagreements, disputes because of our hatred. And then it says emulations. Envies, striving to excel at the expense of another, lowering others to set up myself, emulation, unholy zeal, fervently adopting a bad cause, supporting a good one by cruel means, emulations. Then we have wrath. Turbulent passions, disturbing the harmony of the mind. Disquietness, wrath. Then we have strife. Mentions strife here. Janglings. Disputations. Again, strife about words, arguments, disagreements. Seditions, what is that? It's incitement to revolt against authority, whether church or state. Divisions, seditions, divisions. This could be another word that could be used there. Then we have heresies. Heresies, what is that? Teaching contrary to the truth. It looks so close to the right thing. And brothers and sisters, I think we have so much about of that around us today. It is a weed that looks almost right. It looks almost like a tomato plant. It looks whatever you want to say, like a bean plant. I know there's a weed that I sometimes can hardly tell between a bean or is it a weed, you know? I think we have this among us today. But let it not be in our hearts. It is in the churches, separating communion from with each other. Setting up, communion against each other. Setting up, becoming competitive against each other. Offenses, stumbling blocks, heresies, stumbling blocks. These are things that can grow in our hearts. So, we are born again. We have the peace of Jesus in our hearts, and now we're saved. Right? Everything will be glorious until I get there. Sorry. There's work to be done. We need to work with our hearts, our gardens. Or it will grow up into weeds. It will grow up into worthlessness. It will grow up into worthlessness. What harvest do you get from weeds except seeds, right? So, I want to encourage us this evening, as Brother Levi shared, a life of holiness, desiring to be holy. It takes work. It takes digging. It takes whatever it takes. It takes work. You know, sometimes to get out a weed, we need the help of a hoe. We just scratch around the roots and it comes out easily. Or we need the help of a shovel. You know, in our Christian life, sometimes we need help from someone else. Like my wife says, I need help to get this weed out. Brother, so-and-so, I need help. Can you help me? This weed has deep roots in my heart, and it's hard to get rid of. I can't on my own. Unless someone helps me. We cry out to God, help me. God will help us, yes. But I have experienced in my own life where I needed a brother beside me to help me as well. Not that God isn't strong enough. But there's things sometimes, brothers and sisters, that we just need help from each other. And I'm thinking of things like the thoughts of our mind, the lust of the eye, and things like that, where they lead us if we're not careful. So if we have those things in our hearts, let's get rid of them. We need to till the soil. We need to keep those weeds out of our hearts to get a bountiful harvest. You know, if I let those weeds grow in my garden, I won't have much fruit. So how can we get rid of these weeds? I already mentioned some things, but I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5 through 8. Here it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Here again it mentions these sins, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice there's idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Okay, mortify. What does mortify mean? It means to deaden. Okay, I know we have lots of sprays available today, right? Roundup or whatever you want to use. I mean, you can spray it on the weeds. It kills the weeds, right? But what does it do to the roots? Yeah, it kills them. But you give it several years, it'll grow back again. It'll come back again. It's just like a Band-Aid, right? You just cover it and it looks nice. There's no weeds. But yet that root is still down there. After a while, it starts growing again. Mortify, deaden, get rid of it, or dig it out, I could say, maybe even mortify. Put off, put away, it says here in verse 8. Put off all these, put them off. If we don't take care of the roots in our hearts, they will pop up again, just like the weeds. If we don't get the roots, they will pop up again. We need to take care of our own hearts, our own gardens. I cannot blame my brother or my sister for the weed or the hatred or whatever it is in my heart. It is because of you that I did this thing. We cannot do that. I am responsible for my heart. So, if there are weeds in our hearts this evening, I would encourage us, let's get help. Satan comes to us and tempts us and says, you know, pull that thing out. Just pull as hard as you can and the top breaks off. Root stays there. Ah, now it's just fine. It looks good. The garden looks nice, you know. You pull the weeds and the tops break off. No weeds. Is that how it can be in our hearts? Let's take care of the weeds. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, we are encouraged here to look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. By the bitter root, bitterness springing up in my heart, it can cause others to not bear fruit, according to this verse here. Thereby many be defiled. Sin is a work of our own. It proceeds wholly from ourselves, from our own depraved minds and our wills. Sin does not come from the Holy Spirit. There is no cooperation of the Holy Spirit in our life when we sin. The Holy Spirit is not the author of anything that is evil. All sinful works are works of the flesh, and therefore our own works, as we read here in Galatians, they are works of the flesh. Back to Galatians 5 here, we looked at the weeds, and now we want to look at the fruits. Verse 22 on, we have the works here are mentioned, the works of the flesh, as where verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're made known. But notice then, as we look at verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. They are connected together. The fruits of the Spirit are consistent. They are connected together. Works are mentioned in plural because they are distinct from each other and often inconsistent. But the fruit of the Spirit is connected together. The works of the flesh are everywhere. They're everywhere about us. We see them. We know what they are. And they abound in all places. We can hardly look around us without seeing the works of the flesh that we read here. But the fruit of the Spirit is not so. It is something that is not so visible, or it should be in our lives. Yes, it should be in our lives, in the Christians' lives. Yes, it should be. But looking around us in the world, we do not see them so much anymore. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And I will be just looking at these a little bit here this evening as well. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Where the flesh ruleth, there the work exceeds the fruit. And accordingly, where the Spirit of God ruleth, there the fruit exceeds the work. Notice the difference? Where the work exceeds the fruit exceeds the work where the Spirit of God ruleth. This is the fruit of the Spirit. So what is this love that he speaks of here? We could have a message on love. We could think of 1 Corinthians 13. It is an intense desire to please God and to do good to mankind. It is the very heart of all true religion. Fulfilling of the law Love gives energy to our faith, as it says here in verse 6 of chapter 5, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Notice it is the propeller, the thing that propels us to work. Love. Then we have joy. The sensation that arises from a sense of God's mercy that was communicated to my soul when I was pardoned from mine iniquities. And looking, it's joy when we think of the expectation, look forward to the eternal glory that we can experience because of the forgiveness of our sins. Romans 5 verse 2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory, in the glory of God. Rejoicing, joy. Then we have peace, and we know what peace is, do we not? The calm, quietness, order, which takes place in our lives when once we are cleansed from our sins, instead of the doubts and fears and the dreadful forebodings, we have the peace, the pardon, the assurance of the pardon of sin, which brings peace and satisfaction. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have long suffering. What is that? Long suffering. Long mindedness, bearing with the frailties and provocations of others. Bearing up under troubles and difficulties of life without murmuring or repining. Long suffering. Submitting cheerfully to everything that God sends our way. Gentleness, a very rare grace. It's often something that's lacking in my life. Gentleness. When a person is brought under the influence of the grace of God, this is a result of the grace of God in a person's life. Then we have goodness. The desire and sincere study to abstain from every appearance of evil. To do good to others, to the souls of men, to do good to others. But this springs from a heart purified by the Spirit of God, and then the tree being made good, the fruit must be good also, as it says in Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. After goodness comes faith. What is faith? Well, we have many different definitions for faith. Conscience is carefulness in preserving what is committed to our trust. Believing in God, believing what his word says. Being faithful to our word, in our business dealings, punctuality, performing of our word, our promises. Faith. Then we have meekness. Meekness. Not harboring resentment is meekness. Patient suffering of injuries without feeling a spirit of revenge. And even balance of all tempers and passions, the entire opposite to anger. Those are the things that we want to see growing in our hearts. Then we have temperance, self-control, moderation in our lives. So if we want these things to grow, then these other things must be taken out, just as the weeds in our garden. If we want our peas and our potatoes and tomatoes, cucumbers and whatever else you plant, if we want them to grow, then we must take care of the weeds. So the only way to have the fruit of the Spirit thrive in our hearts is to first mortify the works of the flesh. The weeds and thistles must be rooted before the grain can grow or thrive. As the corruption of one form is the production of another, so the mortification of sin makes way for the plantation of the fruits of the Spirit. May God help us as we do that. You know, living lives of holiness, we see the difference, do we not? the fruit of the Spirit, and we see what the works of the flesh do in our hearts. And we find satisfaction in looking at the fruit of the Spirit as we experience that. There's so much beauty. There's so much beautiful fruit. But then when these other things grow up, it should cause us anxiety. Let's get rid of it. Notice the difference here. When we have the fruit of the Spirit, it says here at the end, against such there is no law. You know, you can let these things are within us, and there's no law against them. We cannot be condemned by any law. For the purpose of God is for us to fulfill in us this fruit because of the Spirit living within us. Is this not true freedom when there is no law against these things? So I want to just encourage us here this evening as we think of our hearts as a garden. You know, we are all flesh, we are all human. But yet, by the grace of God, we can have clean hearts. And I praise God for that this evening. I praise God that through His blood, His blood, we can have our hearts cleansed. And the works of the flesh cannot be there because we have been cleansed from sin. And I praise Him for that, and I thank Him for what He has done in our lives and in my life. And I want to encourage you to continue to work. Be faithful. You know, even though at times it seems it's hard. You know, if there's roots in our heart, let's get rid of them so that others would not be affected by our lives. May God continue to bless you. I wish you God's blessings. Let's kneel for prayer.